It works.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the Corlin Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. I am Al Corlin. As you're aware, we're talking a little bit out of the box today. We're discussing what people can do to personally make a difference to make our society a better place. And I wanted to start out the second hour with my buddy Roger Wiegand, because Roger and I came up with the idea of devoting the show this particular week to the subject when we were having dinner with my wife Kathy a week ago tonight. You know, we were lamenting everything that's going on in society and how there's a lot of things that we don't agree with, etc. And Kathy, you know, being the astute little woman that she is, kind of looked at both of us and she said, "Now wait a minute. You can't always look to other people to make a difference. You know, you can't always look to other people to make things better. You have to look at yourself." And for the first time in a long time, you know, Roger's sitting on the other side of the table and he said, "By God, you know, you're 100% right." You want to elaborate on that a little bit, Roger?
Well, it's easy for people to complain about things, and I've done my share of complaining too, and we've openly, you know, throw stones at politicians and authorities in our newsletter, Trader Tracks, simply because we want to make people aware of what's going on nationally and internationally in the marketplace and, of course, socially. But it gets back to the point where, and I've heard similar remarks from preachers in church and from the church that I happen to watch on television myself. Things start with you, and if you're going to make a difference in the world, you've really got to step up and try to do something. One little thing that I try to do every day is give one person a good compliment. I mean, it's for free, it's so easy to do, and it doesn't matter whether it's a clerk in a store, whether it's a colleague in business, whether it's your spouse or whatever. People are quick to complain anymore these days, but it's hard to give compliments for some reason, which it really should not be.
No, it shouldn't be, and I agree with that 100%. You know, it's really important, not in my opinion, to really, you know, go back to the Bible. You know, as Jesus said in the New Testament, for those of you folks who read the New Testament, you know, that basically, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we need to do that. We need to look at the opinions of other people. We need to try and understand the opinions of other people and the feelings of other people, you know, and work with other people to make our society a better place. Huh, Raj?
Absolutely. I mean, that doesn't mean you roll over and be a namby-pamby and get trampled. That's not what we're saying here. What we're saying is try to go each day and aggressively go out and give compliments to people and do things that can generally improve yourself, your family, your community, and whatever. I remember a few months ago, I need to follow up on it, but you took me over to a Rotary Club meeting in a nearby town. It's a lovely little upscale town. It's inhabited by people who are very successful, many of them independently wealthy people, business people who are work together to make their town a better place. And you look at the town and you look at the situation there, and you know which town I'm talking about. It's very reflective of the involvement of those people. I mean, unfortunately, I think that when people get moved around like I did in my younger years on corporate transfers, as an individual in that situation, you always are a little hesitant to get too deep into friendships with people and to get into clubs and society stuff, because you know that probably within a year to 3 years or whatever, you're going to get another order to move on to another job on a transfer. And that's unfortunate, because people end up being a little bit antisocial. They don't get involved to the extent that they should in trying to help things. I was fortunate in that when I was growing up, I lived in a town that grew to be a big town, but when I was growing up, it was a little burg, really. was 36 square miles, and the population when I was in kindergarten was only 5,000 people. That town today is over 100,000 people, and it's a very busy place, to say the least. But the beauty of living in a place like that was, and in those days, was that us kids were always involved with each other. There were more local activities that children were involved in, whether it's sports or school or social things. I mean, the town grew quickly, and by the time I got into high school, my high school class had 650 people, and there was so many things to do, you really didn't have time to get involved in them all. I think that the advent of a lot of this electronic stuff like video games, Xbox games, all these computer toys and things that people fiddle around with right now, they become engaged in all those things, and they don't really deal much with people anymore on a face-to-face basis. I was in the Boy Scouting program, and we had just great fun. I mean, we camped everywhere. The kids would go hunting and fishing. They would go on these jamboree visits. It was very educational from the standpoint not only of having to earn your way through it to get all the ratings and badges and things, but the kids really got to do some things that I think kids now are deprived of, because they're living in a kind of a sheltered cocoon in their house and or their school, playing this, a lot of these stupid games. That's not to demean some of the things that they do, but the society has changed tremendously, I think, and there's a lot less interaction with people. My father was a president of Toastmasters of Detroit. He was involved in many, many kinds of activities with the Boy Scouting program when I was in it to support what I was doing. And parents need to do that with children, and parents also need to get involved in some outside social things and clubs, which I think are generally on the wane. What do you think, Al?
You know, I agree 100%. What you were just saying brought back some memories to me of an article that was in the Wall Street Journal probably 10 or 15 years ago. The journal was basically doing a study on public education in the United States, and they said, you know, as a result of our study, what we've determined is it really isn't the teachers that are at fault with the declining effectiveness of public education, but it's the parents. You know, parents, there is so little involvement on the part of parents in their kids' public schools, you know, and it's not hard to understand why that's the case, because you know, people have gotten involved in working parents, you know, two-income families, et cetera, and that doesn't leave the parents, who are, you know, dog-tired by the time they get home from work, the time to really effectively get involved with their kids. And I'm not saying that all parents are that way, but I am saying, Raj, that a lot of the parents are that way. And I got to tell you, buddy, in my humble opinion, that is a major, major mistake. You know, we have done on this program numerous segments on public education. I'm not a real proponent right now of public education, and the reason I'm not is because we really don't have the involvement of the parents. You know, parents are thinking, well, you know, it's run by the government, and consequently, that's okay. I don't really need to do much of anything because the government, whether it's on the state level or the federal level, is taking care of it, you know, and oh my gosh, they're so much better qualified than I am. Well, that's not true. Nobody is better qualified to take care of your own kids than you yourself as parents. You know, kids look up to you. They're not looking up to some unknown face that they occasionally, you know, will see on the front page of a newspaper or on television or what have you. People need to get involved with their children. There's no question about it. 30 seconds, wrap it up for me, Raj.
Well, I agree with that. And the other key point I would make is that too many families anymore don't sit down at the dinner table, discuss the daily activities as a family together.
Yep, and they desperately, desperately need to do that. You know, we've got to get back to our roots, because that's the only way that this country, I think, is going to perhaps get on a better course. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Steve Carr.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatec, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. The theme of this week's program is what my colleagues, I guess I'd have to say society, but what my colleagues are doing to help out the rest of society. Let's take it out of the hands of government. Let's do it ourselves. Let's all stand up and make a difference. I'm chatting right now with Gary Freeman. Gary is the president of a company called Pediment Gold Corp, very active down in Mexico. We're not going to talk at all about Pediment Gold Corp right now, except for one thing. We're going to talk about what they as a company have decided to do for the folks in the area of their assets. Gary, thanks for taking some time, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Al. Nice to be on again.
All right. So what are you guys doing down there?
Well, you know, the wonderful thing about what we do or what our business is going into places where in a lot of cases there's really no great employment or great opportunities for people. As an example, on Southern Baja where we're working currently, which was a mining community for many, many, many years. As a matter of fact, you even see some of the old folks down there doing some what they would call small-scale mining, even in their backyards. But what it does is it brings a mainstream business that that society has been used to for many years, and it starts to, or it helps them to relive that and get back into what they've done for forever and ever and ever. And so, you know, there are no handouts. We're not interested in handouts. We are certainly interested in helping people get back to being able to work, you know, earn a living, feed their family, and do the things that, you know, make people feel good about themselves.
Let's talk a little bit about, okay, well, let's dwell on that just for a second. So you're talking about providing employment, okay, and that's pretty self-explanatory. You're talking about, you know, allowing these people to get back into the business that they were in for such a long period of time. But let's talk about other things. And I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but my God, you guys are doing a whole bunch of stuff from a social standpoint down there.
Well, that's absolutely correct as well. You know, some of the things that, apart from just the employment side of it that are important are, you know, the idea of helping, by having medical, are people in the area that can help with medical or medical help in the area, pardon me, and things of that nature. But, you know, socially speaking, it's important because if you look at the work that needs to be done with respect to water in the area and a whole variety of things that go hand in hand with what we're doing, they're all super important and socially responsible. Let's get away from the mining side of it. Let's just talk about responsible mining in and of itself. You know, to be able to do things with the technologies that we have today, which is ultimately a lot or a good portion of the reason we're able to do what we're doing in that area, is because socially responsible mining is something that everybody is all about these days, and I think you see it a lot more than people really understand. And I think those are some of the things that are important as well.
You know, I think it's important that people realize that, Gary, because primarily because, you know, a number of years ago, this is probably going back about, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, but the New York Times newspaper, you know, the premier paper in terms of circulation anyway in the United States, wrote a 3-page series that was on the front page of their business section Monday through Wednesday of that particular week, where they were talking about how mining company executives are doing nothing for the environments that they're working in, but they're doing everything to enhance, you know, their own pocketbooks, for lack of better terms, raping the land, they called it, scarring the earth. Nothing could be farther from the truth.
Yeah, I don't agree with those statements. I think that, I just don't think you can have, you know, the world the way it is today. I just don't think you can have that kind of damage. I mean, there may be that type of damage still in a few pockets and places, but if you go back and think about what went on in the 80s and 90s with a lot of different companies that floated to the surface, certainly within the news in the 90s and some of the spills and disasters, I mean, there are a lot of companies that have completely changed their way of thinking and are extremely careful with the way they produce metals these days. And that, it's just the way it has to be because, you know, with climate change and all the rest of it, whether we agree with it or not, suffice it to say, with the amount of population in the world today and the importance of commodities, you know, sustainability is ultimately super important. And I think that there are the technologies to make it that way, and I think people are very, very used to having to bring that into their business model. You just have to. Too many NGOs out there these days that make your life miserable if you don't.
Yeah, to say the least. Okay, well, so what are some of the things that you as a company are doing down there to make it a better environment for the people in the areas that you're specifically are working in?
Well, we've been very mindful of, you know, because of the process we're going through currently, you know, we're very mindful of what the community wants, Semarnat, some of the other agencies within Mexico. You know, we've had a lot of discussions about how to treat the water in the area. You know, Mexico, particularly in the Baja, you know, everybody's belief is that there's no water there. That's not really true. There's a lot of water there, but there's also problems with the water. And so being responsible about how we work with the water is an example. We've had conversations with CONAGUA about how we would treat the water, what we would do in working with water from the aquifer. As an example, some of the aquifer is getting contaminated with saline because some of the developments are drilling water wells too close to the ocean. And these are the types of developments you see, resorts and such. Some of the farming that's gone on has put nitrates into the grounds. And so, you know, we've had a lot of conversations with the water people in Mexico about how we as a company can help deal with that. And we're willing to do it. You know, it's a cost of doing business, but that once in and of itself is something that helps the community and certainly is being socially responsible. And so finding out what we can do while planning what we would like to do down there that helps the community is just like at the top of the list. What do you see us doing that helps you and your community?
What do I see what?
As I say, you know, we ask that question. What do you see
that we
can do that helps your community? Now, you know, ultimately, a lot of these, and I don't want to sound righteous or anything, but, you know, a lot of these projects are very capital intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't, I mean, it would be irresponsible for me to say, well, let's just not worry about the capital and just do whatever it takes to make everybody happy. That's not realistic either. But it doesn't mean you can't do something. It doesn't mean, you know, that you can't have that mindfulness about what you're doing in these areas. I mean, however, you are in the areas working with that country's gold or silver or working within that community, and it's always important to give something back.
It's always important to get something back, but it's also important to give something back to the community. And I have to say that I really took offense to whoever wrote the article in the New York Times, and it was such a long time ago that I don't remember the individual's name, but I know that we invited them to come on the show and defend what they were saying, and they weren't willing to do that, and I think that's a shame, because, you know, the mining industry in and of itself, I mean, you've got to be profitable for your shareholders because you've got a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders. I mean, you know, Where would Pediment be were it not for the people who were willing to invest in the company, who believed in the dream, et cetera, et cetera. But so you do have a responsibility to those shareholders. But mining executives, I have to say, just a little bit of editorializing here on my part, but mining executives are also not only have a responsibility that they're keeping up with their shareholders, but also they have a responsibility to the folks and to the physical environment in the areas that they are working in. And I got to tell you, people like Gary Freeman are living up to that responsibility 1,000%. Big Al's going to be right back. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring 2 wind generators on just 1 tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
If you've used the drug Reglan or its generic form, metoclopramide, please listen carefully. Reglan has been shown to cause serious neurological side effects, consisting of involuntary movements of the face, limbs, and other body parts. If you or a loved one has suffered this condition, call the New York and New Jersey law firm of Oshman and Mirasola at 888-730-DRUG. That's 888-730-DRUG for a free consultation. Call 888-730-DRUG. That's 888-730-3784. If you've taken the contraceptive Yaz or Yasmin, please listen carefully. These drugs have been found to cause blood clots in the body and gallbladder disease. If you or a loved one has suffered these side effects, contact the New York and New Jersey firm of Oshman and Mirasola at 888-730-DRUG immediately for free consultation. Call 888-730-DRUG. That's 888-730-3784. Again, call Oshman and Mirasola at 888-730-3784.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing with the theme of this particular discussion about what we can do to make this world a better place. You know, I just want to interject before I bring Steve Carr here into the studio that, you know, Gary Freeman is a great example of what mining executives are doing to make the environment where their assets are located, what they are doing to make that a better place. You know, and I know for a fact that there are a whole bunch of people in Mexico who are a lot better off today than they were before Peniman got involved in that area. Anyhow, Steve Carr is with me. Steve is my buddy who is the co-host on the Economics Report, which airs on the Business Talk Radio Network at a couple of times now, both 2 to 3 p.m. East Coast time on many of the Business Talk radio stations, and that airs again, if I'm not mistaken, at 9 o'clock West Coast time on even more of the stations. So Steve and I are having some luck with that show, primarily thanks to Steve. Hey, Steve Areno, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Al. Good to be with you today.
Listen, it's a pleasure to have you, as always. What have you done? I mean, you've been involved in the ministry. You've been, in the past, you're involved with in other ways of helping people. Give our listeners a rundown on that, would you?
I will, Al. You know, there have been several things that have been especially fulfilling to me, and I hope helpful to other people. As you know, on the financial front, whether it's Business Talk Radio Network or the Genesis station, we've been committed to empowering people financially and encouraging people to be a part of the solution, not just identify what the problems are. And so that's been really fulfilling to have a client who's an elderly client who
basically had lost all of her retirement, and now, you know, 6 years later, to have over $1,200,000 and be able to travel around the world and so forth has been great. On the political front, as you know, Al, you know, with what we're doing, you know, on the Business Talk Radio Network on Saturdays in interviewing these candidates, to let people know that just like in the movie Gladiator, where the emperor said Rome is an idea and he wanted to give Rome back to the people. It's wonderful to be talking to a lot of these candidates, Al, whether they're Republicans or independents or libertarians, who are real political statesmen, and they want to give back America, the idea of America, to the people, and to give people an opportunity to really get engaged in the political process where they can really make a difference and see change that is really impacting, you know, their lives and their loved ones, and where they have hope, you know, for the future. Personally, one of the things that I did in ministry that is probably the most fulfilling, Al, is I put together a seminar called Masterpiece. And in Masterpiece, we used five assessments that went through behavioral style, values, aptitudes, abilities, and at the end of that 8 hours, we would what we call run a thread through it. And it really helped people, Al, to, in a sense, decode what God had encoded into their lives. Are you more extroverted or introverted? Are you more assertive or, you know, non-assertive? Are you kinetically inclined? Are you more oriented toward being involved with people or things? And it was really very fulfilling to me. And maybe Andre is a person you could talk to sometime about, because he went through it, to see the lights go on of how unique each and every person is, and that we have not only designed strengths, but in a sense we also have designed weaknesses so that we need other people. And like in your and Clyde's and my relationship, you know, in the economics report, the partnership that we have, you know, Clyde has tremendous strengths, but I think we also know him well enough, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, you know, that he has some areas of weakness, the same with you and I. And to be able to flow with that with each other now, rather than it being a scary thing, you know, it becomes something that really becomes a lot of fun. So I would say Masterpiece is probably one of the most fulfilling things to me that I've ever been able to do in helping others.
You know, Steve, it's amazing to me how our society, I don't want to say the greatest society in history, that's being a little bit pompous, but, you know, certainly up near the top, how our society has gotten to the point, you know, started back, as David Morgan brought out, with Roosevelt back in the 30s, and then as I brought out, you know, really, really was stressed with former President Johnson, with the Great Society. It's amazing to me how we have gotten away from empowering others to help themselves. You know, I mean, I think a lot of welfare, probably theoretically, you know, you give people money so they can survive, and consequently, you know, they, you know, the theory is that they, well, where they're going to go on, get educated, et cetera, so they become productive members of society. But that's not the way that welfare is working. It basically is giving people the ability, you know, to sit on the stoop and smoke cigarettes and drink wine, for lack of better terms. And you know what? To me, that, Steve, is very, very sad.
You know, I think, Al, you have absolutely hit the nail on the head with the root problem issue in our day and age.
Yeah. You
know, as parents, what's our greatest responsibility and greatest joy? It's to recognize that each of our kids are unique. You know, I've got seven kids. All of them are totally different, ranging from Alyssa, you know, my little towhead 11-year-old, who's taller than most of her older siblings, you know.
Yeah.
And she's this athletic, outgoing, you know, she's the queen bee in her class. I mean, this girl is a whirlwind in motion. The next oldest child, Juliet's this, you know, little redheaded artist. She's very introverted. She's totally different. I don't want either of them to be a mini me, let alone exactly like one another. I revel in their uniqueness. I want them to understand who they are, good, bad, and ugly, and revel in that and really flow in that and contribute. You know, we live in a day and age where everybody's trying to look like each other. I mean, I've seen so many white teeth, it's just incredible. You know, it's like, it's nice to see somebody who doesn't have perfectly white teeth anymore, or liposuction, or, you know, any of the other things where we have this ideal image. You know, we have people reading People magazine and losing themselves through these real life dramas every day. Why aren't we living our own lives, Al? Why aren't we reveling in who we are and making the unique contribution that only we can make to society?
I think the reason that that isn't happening, Steve, I mean, it is obviously in your case and in my case and in all of our colleagues' cases, you know, it is. But I think the reason that it's not happening in society is, you know, we took a direction in the past where people felt that they were entitled. They didn't feel necessary, and I don't mean everybody, but a lot of people felt, you know, we are entitled to the McMansion. We are entitled to being able to drive a BMW or a Mercedes, whether we can afford it or not. We are entitled to free food. We are entitled to free medical care. We are entitled. We are entitled. We are entitled. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, the cold, hard fact is, society cannot progress and advance under that philosophy. People simply have to work. People simply cannot take out more than they put in. It is just not going to happen. And what is the result of that? Well, the result of that, which I pray to God that we'll never see in the United States, but the result of that is, in my opinion, going to be incredible social unrest. And you know what? I think there's a better than average chance that if we don't turn this thing around, that's going to happen. Okay, Big Al's going to be right back. We're going to get some views on this from a 20-something, Alex Diakowski, young Canadian gentleman. He's going to tell us what he thinks about all of this, you know, and it is interesting to say the least. Stephen, thank you so much.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
For world-class auto detailing, use what the pros use worldwide. Sparkle Auto. At SparkleAuto.com, the products and services we deliver are as good as it gets. And the knowledge behind them, even better. We always give you our absolute best, like our large 5-foot square chamois. It's Sparkle Auto's hottest selling item, voted by our customers as the most valuable chamois. This imported chamois is made of the highest quality microfiber artificial leather, so no scratching ever. It always remains soft, gentle, and pliable, no matter how much water it soaks up. The Sparkle Auto chamois will not shrink or grow stiff with age or dryness. See it and buy it now for only $19.95 plus shipping at SparkleAuto.com. That's SparkleAuto.com. Or call toll-free 866-372-9559. Experience the best customer service and our 110% price guarantee at SparkleAuto.com. Call 866-372-9559 today for good value on top-of-the-line auto detailing products from SparkleAuto.com.
Remain in your houses. The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Big Al's back to wrap up the show. We're going to do our new segment that we're doing every week, getting input from people who are under the age of 30. You know, it's amazing how much insight you can get from those folks. I am chatting right now with the same young man I talked with last week, Alex Diakowski. Alex is a very bright young man, lives up in Canada, very astute when it comes to economic issues throughout North America. And what we're going to chat about is Alex is convinced, based on research that he has done, that the U.S. really has some serious problems. And I would agree with that. By way of an introduction, I would have to say that I came out on my daily editorial last Thursday, a couple of days ago, and I said in no uncertain terms, I really, really think investors need to be getting out of the conventional stock market. With the headlines that we're getting right now, not only in the financial press, but also in what I would call the conventional press, you know, things really, really aren't looking good. I talked about the editorial that the fellow from the New York Times had written on Thursday that was in the Seattle Times, basically saying society in the United States could very well be in dire, dire straits. Well, you know, Friday morning I was reading the paper front page again of the Seattle Times. The state government in Washington is basically, I don't want to say that they're broke, but they're in a situation where a lot of the entitlements that are going on in Washington are going to be cut severely because there just isn't any money for that. Well, if you combine all of these things together, all of that is going to erode consumer confidence. All of that is going to basically cause tremendous discomfort on the part of individuals. And I think that that's going to result in a severe downturn in the conventional stock market. And I'm looking for that to happen really almost any time now. All right, forgetting those two factors, Alex, you did some research on the fiscal health of the United States. And what you came up with, as I recall, was pretty dire, correct?
Yeah, well, you and I have discussed more than once that perhaps the solution could be to raise taxes instead of cutting spending. And aside from my usual kind of grinchy attitude towards spending more of the taxpayers' money on stuff, I just went and looked at the numbers, and it's not even possible. The U.S. is spending, I think this year their budget deficit is $1.2 trillion that's being added onto the debt. Last year it was $1.4 trillion. And they're only bringing in, for fiscal year 2010, they only brought in $2.17 trillion, whereas they spent $3.5 trillion. You know, where are you going to get this extra $1 trillion from?
Yeah, exactly. It is not a good situation that we're in right now. You know, I'm looking at some of the material that you sent me, and what I find to be amazing is the current administration is still spending money that we don't have. I mean, the most glaring example of that in my mind is this medical situation. You know, free medical care basically for people who can't afford it. Our president says that particular action, which has been signed into law, number one, and number two, which was signed into law without the majority of folks living down here in favor of it. President Obama says, well, that's basically deficit neutral. What? There's no way that can be deficit neutral. I mean, if you spend money, you have to get it from someplace, right?
Well, yeah. I'm not too familiar with your whole Medicare, Medicaid system, as I'm a Canadian, but according to the charts, it makes up 20% of the budget.
Yeah.
So for the people who truly can't afford medical care, I'm sure you could work out some kind of Doctors Without Borders thing for, you know, welfare cases, but if you just gave that 20%, $743 billion, back to taxpayers, I'm sure they'd be able to afford their own doctor care.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's going on in the United States right now, philosophically, is we have an administration that is really, really interested in income redistribution, leveling the playing field for everybody. And I have to tell you, Alex, in my mind, I mean, with the numbers that you have given in terms of receipts versus expenditures in the United States, there is no way that in a sound manner we can level the playing field, which, number one, I think is wrong in the first place, because I'm a real believer in capitalism. You know, I believe that what you can take out from a society is in direct proportion to what you put in. Well, that's not what's going on right now. What's going on right now is we're just getting bigger and bigger deficits. And I'm not saying it's the Democrats' fault. I mean, this is...
They're both guilty. That's the one thing conservatives need to realize, is that the Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats when it comes to spending money.
Yeah, no, I mean they really are, but we are doing things in this country that we simply can't afford to do. You know, the medical situation is one glaring example of that. But let's talk about the military expenditures. We're spending money on the military that we simply don't have anymore. Well, what's the upshot of this? Well, as I said earlier, you know, when we began this conversation, in the state of Washington, what's happening here? Basically, Governor Gregoire is saying, you guys got to tighten up your belts because we don't have that money anymore. The programs that are being cut in Washington, or that are on the chopping block, I guess I should say, it's really, really sad that those programs are going to be cut, but there's no money to pay for them. Why can't our government on a federal level come to that same conclusion, and instead of trying to give everybody something for nothing, why can't we simply say, you got to tighten your belts, we all have to work together, right?
That's a very good question, and one of the things that's going to have to come from this at some point is that all this entitlement spending is going to have to, I mean, you basically have to have spending. I was talking with someone about this the other day, and just the way I see it, the only way you can conceivably solve these problems is with the kind of, you know, armchair quarterback dictator solutions that no one thinks are realistic. But I mean, you're basically going to have to, like, take everyone who's on welfare, and instead of giving them money, you know, put them in bunk bed camps somewhere.
That sounds pretty extreme.
I mean, you know, they can be nice with hot showers and whatever, but I mean, there's 40 million Americans on food stamps right now. There's welfare and unemployment make up 16% of the budget. You know, if you took everyone on unemployment and had them, you know, put them to work somewhere, building building housing for people who lose their, you know, building big government camps for people who lose their houses and building a big wall with Mexico. At least they'd be, you know, put to some use.
Well,
but how you have to cut spending.
How,
I don't know how they're going to do it while keeping everyone in their homes and keeping everyone living in the manner they're accustomed to.
You know, I don't understand it either. Now, I have a question for you. Canada is pretty well known for an awful lot of, you know, what I would call entitlement spending. You guys have, your taxes in Canada are very, very interesting, but do you think if the United States took the example of Canada, things would get better down here?
I don't think so. I mean, we do spend quite a bit. We're in we have a budget deficit ourselves in the past 2 years. We don't have quite the same underclass as you guys do. We don't really have neighborhoods in Canada where you can't drive in without getting shot.
Telling it like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those kind of people take up a huge amount of spending.
So basically what I'm hearing you say here is that we have to have some type of social, what's the best word to use here? We basically have to change society so that the folks who are not productive, we have to help them become productive. In a nutshell, your opinion, is that the solution? Got about 10 seconds here.
You have 50% of Americans aren't paying taxes.
Right.
The top 50% of taxpayers, I found out, are paying 97% of the taxes.
Right.
So you have 50% of, tax-paying age adults in the U.S. who are, just using services. They're not contributing at all.
Yeah.
So that's got to change somehow. Either they have to use less services or they have to start chipping in.
You know, it sounds...
If they're unemployed or making $20,000 a year, you can't really expect them to chip in.
It sounds to me like what you're saying, and I agree 100%, is the solution is to make society more productive. Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Big Al's going to be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.